Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome to the show, 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. McCray Hepler will be joining me in about 20 minutes or so. Stockton is here this morning as well. Hi, Stockton.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Stockton, I wanted to talk a little bit at the start of the show about information.
Now, yes.
You and I grew up, obviously, in different generations. I'm 58, you're 28.
Yes. Right?
So 30 years apart. When I was 28, when I was your age, there were four networks. Fox was fairly new. I don't know that cable was just starting to become a thing where you could have some of the, you know, TBS and some of those and CNN.
Yeah.
And, but if something big happened, we either turned to the networks or, you know, sometimes we would turn to CNN. There was no internet yet, by the way, 30 years ago. Not widespread internet anyway. So, but for us, finding out information if something big was going on was, or even us, we just want to know what was going on politically or whatever. It was, we all kind of got our information from the same place. Now, I'm curious, as a young man, 28-year-old young man, when something, you want to know something, there's something in the news, something important to you, where do you turn? What are your news sources?
Well, the big one is social media. Has been the biggest one in the past decade of just where information comes from.
Yeah.
A lot of these news organizations don't have as much power as they used to because a lot of, basically anyone can become a news source because they have that access to them, but it becomes a bit of a gamble. Because of what's actually reliable and what's not. And so it's about finding the seed. For me, it's about finding the seed in social media.
The seed of truth, you mean, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
or like the common cause of, like, if you see a bunch of different stories and they're all about the same event, but they have different elements, you find the common factor in it. And then you go to, you look more into that common factor, and that's where the true story blooms from,
you know,
that seed.
You know, we blindly back, you know, I'm going to say in the 80s and 90s, when you know, my growing up years and starting a young family, we kind of, maybe to a fault, blindly trusted the news media outlets because that's all we had.
Right.
And you know, you, a cynic now would say, well, you guys blew it because you didn't question the news. You just took it out, you know, took it at its face value. To me, I kind of felt like, well, I believe the news sources tried harder to be not unbiased. That's not there. Be fair to tell both sides of the story. Now I feel like you can find any side of any story anytime you want if you go out looking for it.
I think the word you're trying to find is neutral.
Neutral.
And I mean, that's one of the biggest things about being a journalist for me is I want to be as neutral as I possibly can. And if there's ever an opinion, that opinion is usually coming from a quote. It's not coming from me. And so with regards to distrust in like the news and all that stuff, I will say that, it has become far more public of who owns these news networks where their political allegiance lie, and that can lead to definitely skewed opinions when it should just be reporting the facts and nothing else.
So I've been involved in news writing. Fortunately for me, it was mostly sports, so I got to stay out of the fray, so to speak.
Right.
But every morning in all my years of writing for different news organizations, they had something called the budget meeting. It had nothing to do with money. Everybody's like, budget meeting, I was talking about. Budget meeting in news circles is basically, what stories are you working on? What's going to make up today's newspaper?
Yeah.
Or tomorrow morning's newspaper or whatever it is. And so, you know, and for me, like I said, in sports, that was pretty easy. But I do know, I can tell you this, every news organization that I worked for, the editor had a vision of what message we were going to send. So even though I felt like, well, we're neutral, I mean, you're right. The people in charge were the ones that really told you what to write about. I mean, obviously there's major breaking news that everybody writes the same thing about.
Of course.
But then there's the spin. Take, for example, the floods, you know, from the hurricane on the East Coast. And you know, after the fact, and this is recent, of course, this was this year, or I guess late last year, but you could read a story about how, you know, they only got $700 or how FEMA was doing it, and everybody's going to, depending on how what you believe, what news source you believe in, you're going to believe those stories. Other news sources say they got plenty of money and the government's doing everything they can. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like now you really can tell, you know, who's in charge and what they want you to say.
Exactly.
So I am encouraged by your idea that you should try to be neutral.
Well, and I can even give you an example of that in my work that just happened this last week.
Mm-hmm.
There was the protest. Last month, a week before yesterday. I remember when that came out, I knew that a majority of the population here wouldn't agree with the opinion that those protesters were giving, because it was a lot more liberal than conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, in the article, I never state whether it's right or wrong. I never state, like, if these people were, just unjust. It's just through quotes that I express their opinion, not my opinion, express their opinion. And then just the day after, we got more information, and this time it was from the police, and it told a completely different story on the public reaction side of the things on the protest. And so being able to be neutral and report on both those sides without taking a side, I pride myself in doing that as much as I possibly can.
You know, that story was really interesting as I listened to it unfold, and I watched you work on the story that you were going to tell. You know, one of the quotes you ran last week was a girl saying, well,
about,
you know,
brown skin.
Please, pull over more people with brown skin.
Yeah.
I would really like to know statistics on that, you know, and
yeah,
obviously
absolutely.
That's her opinion. But what's the real story? Is that true? I don't think it is true. In fact, I asked a friend of mine in the police department. He says, we've never pulled someone over by the color of their skin.
It's a very hard thing to gauge, especially hard to argue against it when the police were actually assisting with the protest.
Yeah,
and so,
right.
And, but
we
then,
hate these guys. Oh, the ones that are helping you. Yeah, we hate them. Yeah.
But then there's also a valid argument here where it's also just, how do you gauge this type of behavior? And yes, there is body cam footage. So you can use that, but also, maybe it's not the St. George Police Department. Maybe it's a different police department. And I'm absolutely not accusing anyone of doing that. We can't experience the lives of other people, of another person, as much as we'd like to. We can't experience all those things. And so we have no idea what's happening in the background. But in that regard, in the amount of quotes that she said, I still felt like that was the most newsworthy. And so, and then the next day, what happens? Well, people didn't agree with that. And they broke the law in front of the people, blew smoke in their faces by peeling out in front of them. And, you know, it's that kind of, I don't know. It's just facts. It's facts that this person said it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
Right. Right. For sure. And, you know, it's, as you remember from college statistics, I took a class called Statistics for Media. And basically the purpose of the class, the whole point of the class that I took out of it, and granted this was 3 decades ago, but was basically you can take almost any statistic and you can make it work in your favor.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that person who said that, maybe they had an experience where they felt like they were pulled over, or a friend of theirs was pulled over because of the color of their skin. And so in their mind, anecdotally, they're like, this is because I saw it. This is how I feel.
Exactly. Well, and also there's the point of this being a national issue and there being actual, like, racist behavior with some cops across the country.
Yeah.
Not all of them, only a few. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a few bad eggs in this batch, essentially. Well, and I'll sum it up with this. In regards to what you said about those statistics, it doesn't have to be political in nature either. We hear a lot of statistics about how affordable housing in Utah is actually lower than a lot of places across the country. But a lot of those people who are, a lot of the websites and studies that are showing those rankings, they don't go into the actual economy of the state itself.
Right.
So even though the housing prices are lower compared to other states, the amount of income the average citizen receives is not as much as other states.
I don't know if you heard, Brandon and I were just talking about that
I was too busy typing away. I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, wow. We were just barely talking about the fact that, you know, you can, the exact same house in St. George, take it over to Orange County or L.A., it's going to be $200,000 more there. A $400,000 townhome here is $600,000 there. But you're going to make double what you make here.
Exactly.
And, you know, my son has always contended, St. George doesn't have a housing problem. It has a wage problem.
I 100% agree.
And I've been here since 1993. When I moved here, it was the same. It was exactly, I mean, the numbers are different, obviously, over 30 years. But
the gap is the same.
It's the same. Yeah, it's exactly the same. And I just remember I think it was my dad, but maybe it was a relative of mine, wanted to get a job as a professor at the college at the time, a junior college, and they wanted a doctorate, and they were going to pay half of what you could make it, you know, at the University of Utah or at UNLV. And I'm like, why would anybody want to do that? And the fact of the matter is, well, this is a great place to live, and they're willing to take less to live here. As sad as it is, it's almost like the law of supply and demand in economics. Is the demand to live in St. George is so great that they can afford to pay less, because we're going to come here anyway because we love it.
Why do you think the retirement homes are so popular here? It's because they make their money outside of Utah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I have no basis for this. This is just kind of where the conversation was leading me. Mm-hmm. But I do know that a lot of retirees move here because of the weather and just, you know, the overall small town nature of St. George.
You don't have to shovel sunshine, too.
Exactly. And so a lot of them, even just from up north, that wage gap from Salt Lake to St. George is so different.
That's why my son moved up north.
Exactly.
Make more money.
And so you come down to St. George after you've made your money and you want to settle down, and then you're not paying as much, but you earned enough. Right. So it's interesting.
You and I are different because as we talk about this, you grew up here.
Yes.
I moved here. Somehow I got in as a young married guy. We had one kid when we moved here.
You moved here before I was born in 1996.
Yeah. I was here, I think 93 Cedar, 94 St. George.
Gotcha.
But because we lived in Cedar for 1 year. But so I was able to get in. And people now would say, well, you've been here a long time, and that's why you're here. Well, that plus we made a commitment, my wife and I. We wanted to stay here, and we were going to make sacrifices like making less money.
Right.
So that we could live in St. George. And yes, we did catch up, and we got to the point where we lived in a home for a while, got a bunch of equity, sold it, used that equity to buy the next home, sold it, used that equity to buy the next home, et cetera. So yes, we feel like we have established ourselves here now, but
it took quite the strategy to get to that point.
Yeah, it took 3 decades to get to that point, you know, or 2.5 anyway. So, it is a great place to live. I don't have the perspective of someone who, a young person now who is trying to stay here, or like you do, or even someone who wants to move here because there's a great job offer, and then they find out, oh yeah, there's a great job offer, but you can't afford to buy a house.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough, and I have lots of friends who are kind of forced to move. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. forced to move. I feel like we've gotten really off topic here. We were talking about information.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
But I will say that I have a lot of friends who graduated the same year of high school with me, and I don't think I can count on a single hand how many of my friends actually stayed in St. George.
It's tough, man.
I could count all those high school friends that were really close, I could do that with, you know, it's in the double digits for sure. But on one hand, in fact, I could tell you three are still in St. George. And a lot of them it took them a really long time to actually be able to make a living here. But that might be the nature of their profession, or it might just be how long it took for them to get there to actually get a well-earning position. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking about my son right now, my oldest son. So he had to leave mm-hmm. and come back. He is back now, fortunately. I was thinking about his buddies. You know, one's in Texas. The other was in Ohio for a while. All these guys that he went to high school with, or that are approximately his same age, they had to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And even him coming back, he came back not with the idea that, you know, I'm going to come back because it's a great place to make money. His idea was, I'm going to come back because I want to live here and be by my parents and be by my family, and I'll figure out the financial part later, which he is, but it hasn't been easy.
You know, that's actually one of my biggest motivations for staying here. Even if I don't earn as much as I'd like, the main reason I'm here is because of my family.
Yeah.
It was a miracle that after around like 8 years of my siblings going around the country and stuff like that, they all reconvened and found jobs here. Of course, that changed recently with my brother above me going to grad school in New York, of all places.
Yeah.
But my oldest brother went to medical school in California, spent his residency in New Mexico, and heaven forbid we talk about his rotations to Kentucky and Nashville and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Now, I got a couple of things, but we'll stay on information for just a second.
Yes.
There is, and I don't know if you've been here, Stockton, a website out there called Information is Beautiful. Sometimes they post on Facebook, but I love this website because it's like weird stuff, right? Like it doesn't, one of the graphs is what happens to plastic. How long does it take to break down, and the different sources of plastic, and it's just random stuff all over the place. You know, how many cattle live in each state? You know, I mean, just stupid.
It's like water cooler facts, essentially.
Yeah, but it's, I feel like, first of all, they do a good job of citing their sources and of really making sure they're not just throwing false stuff out there. But also,
any good writer should.
Here's one. Okay, the most common four-digit PIN numbers, right? We all have four-digit PIN numbers for whatever, you know, maybe your garage code or your ATM or whatever.
Right, mine is. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, don't say that. But actually, you know, they say the most common ones, and the most common one, the top four are 4321.
4321.
Yeah, oh, okay. For whatever reason. And 1234. That's number one and number two. And then 7410 for whatever I guess it's
7410.
7410. So I guess you're just going up the keypad.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And that's one of but it has the graph of every PIN number. So yours will be on here somewhere and how popular it is. I'm happy to say I'm looking at mine. Mine is, so it has them as it's a warmth to cold graph. The most common ones are white hot, and then the least common ones get darker and darker, so that there are actually a few black spots, like 9-5, looks like, it doesn't have the exact number, but it has it in the graph. So 9525 is very uncommon.
Oh.
It's black. There are some gray ones, but mine is a dark orange, the one I use quite a bit. So if you want to go through and look at the chart, you can figure mine out by taking all the dark orange ones, and which there are probably
I'm very tempted to do that now because I have two PIN numbers that I use a ton.
Worth looking at.
Yeah.
Worth looking at. But this information is beautiful.net is the website. Again, they post on, I got them on my feed. You know how on Facebook, if you click on something once or twice, then it starts appearing.
Oh,
in
yeah.
And
the algorithm's just like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I get information is beautiful posts all the time. And, I mean, it's just fascinating to me, all the different, here's one. What are UFOs? Which theories explain unidentified aerial phenomena and first-person encounters? And then it talks about where they're coming from and how, you know, misidentified military stuff, breakaway civilization. I don't know what that means. Aircraft, sensor air. It just has like this whole graph and chart of all the stuff about UFOs. It's just fun to look at. So
yeah.
Information is beautiful.
It sounds like a very solid time in the bathroom.
Yeah, one for every day of the week, yeah. Right there, baby. for years, I think, because it has literally hundreds and hundreds of graphs. So, okay, the other thing, again, is just back to the information thing, is just, I mean, you mentioned a seed, trying to find the truth, trying to find, and I'm throwing this at right and left, right?
Right.
Because for every website you can find on the left side that will exaggerate the truth that way, you can find one on the right side too. And so it's up to us to try to discern.
So it's so funny. There is actually another website, and I'll say this very quickly because I know we're running low on time.
Yeah.
But you ever heard of Ground News?
Ground News, no.
Ground News essentially is a news website And what they do is they have a story topic, and then they have multiple articles listed that cover that same story topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have graphs showing you which one leans politically in, so you can find the most middle ground on each article.
Nice.
It's very cool. I highly recommend it to anyone curious about that.
That just the website, groundnews.com?
I believe it's groundnews.com.
Very cool.
There's also an app for it, I believe.
All right. McCray Hepler is here. We're going to take a quick commercial break, check weather, and we'll have McCray on talking about a couple of cool developments in town when we get back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, I wanted to talk for a minute about the Ducrest Monument Company. Now, Will Ducrest is a friend of mine, and he put together this. They had a store in Hurricane, and they said, well, let's go over to Washington City. And so right there on Buena Vista is the Ducrest Monument Company. This is really cool. So if you have a loved one pass away, or maybe you're planning your own services for after you die, you can just take whatever the funeral home says. You know, here's a headstone, just pick something. Or you can actually go to the Monument Company, like Ducrest, and really design it yourself. Basically have pick out the stone you want, and then you go in their design room and you say, I want this and this and this, and I don't want this and I want this. It's actually really awesome. My wife and I had a headstone made with the two of us on it, and we'll never get divorced, so that's not a problem. But with the Jordan River Temple on front, which is where we got married, and on the back, the red cliffs of southern Utah and the names of our children. And Will Ducrest did a fantastic job, and it's actually on display right now. If you go to Ducrest Monument Company, you can see our headstone, our monument. That's going to go on our grave. Now, listen to me right now. If you mention you heard about the Ducrest Monument Company from me, from Andy Griffin, say, hey, I heard about you on the Andy Griffin Show, he'll give you 10% off right now. That's pretty cool deal. It's Ducrest Monument Company. Now, the phone number is 435-962-2879. 962-2879. 10% off if you call today and talk to Will and say you heard it on the Andy Griffin Show. They are located at 504 West Buena Vista Boulevard. The Ducrest Monument Company is AG approved. All right, welcome to the program. I'm Andy. McCray Hepler is with me on the program today. McCray, you doing all right, man?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for coming in. We're actually going to switch days with McCray here in the near future because I guess your filming schedule has changed. But
yeah,
appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for accommodating
like last
that.
Last Tuesday, man. I got to tell you, every time you come on, I get comments from people that say, you know what, I love when McCray comes on and talks about what's coming up in St. George. It's really cool.
Sweet. That's good to know. I'm really glad. Cool. Well, hopefully they listen on, what is it going to be, Mondays? Is that where we're thinking?
Yeah, we haven't figured out which Monday yet, but it's going to be one Monday a month.
So. Okay.
Now, I was out at the Travel Expo put on by Morse Columbus out at Black Desert. And in fact, while I was there, it's kind of an ego boost for me because a lot of people come up and say, hey, I listen to you all the time. But I actually had, while I was there, two or three people say, yeah, I love listening to you and McCray talk about St. George and all the cool stuff happening in St. George. And Black Desert is actually one of the areas that you recently did a video on. Tell us what you learned.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on out there. They've got some cool new restaurants that have opened up the last couple months. That's my biggest
We love restaurants.
And I was supposed to go to Basalt. I went to a tasting, and it was excellent. But I didn't. It wasn't like a full dinner experience. Right. But everyone I've talked to so far that's gone to Basalt, which is the high-end steakhouse, has given it 10 out of 10 rating.
Oh, wow.
Food, the service, the atmosphere, everything. And I was supposed to go on my birthday, and then I got sick on my birthday, unfortunately.
No. By the way, happy birthday, January 31st.
Yep, a couple weeks ago. I'm 35 now. It's crazy.
No, are you kidding? Really?
Yeah.
You look like you're in your 20s still.
I'm glad.
I don't see any gray hair.
It's funny, actually. Yesterday, I ran into somebody, and they're like, you're the kid from the videos. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, I'm the 35-year-old kid.
And I think part of, it's funny because I think part of like why people enjoy the videos is because I feel like I am just a kid still.
Yeah.
But I was talking to my staff yesterday. I'm like, at what age do I become not the kid?
Not a kid.
Like, at what age is it the guy doing, like the older guy doing the videos, you know? Like, That's going to be a scary. I don't know.
You need some gray hair.
I don't know when that happens, but I'll take it. I'll keep taking it for now.
Well, and you come on the radio with the guy who used to broadcast your games when you were in high school when you were the quarterback.
Half a life away. Yeah, it's crazy.
Was it really that long ago? Oh my goodness,
it's crazy. We were saying before the show, just wish time would slow down.
Yeah. And by the way, picture if you look on Facebook, picture of McRae with his kids, and I love what you said. It's in my only wish for my birthday is I wish time would slow down a little bit because it goes so fast, man.
It does. It goes absolutely. So I will be making it out there soon for a full dinner experience. I'm really excited. The other one that I haven't been to, Latitude, is open in the mornings. It's a breakfast place.
Okay.
And it's harder to get to breakfast, but I love going out to breakfast, so it's on my list, and I've heard good things.
Now, are these centered around catering to golfers or people that are staying there?
Everybody. Locals, just everybody. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's two restaurants on the golf course that are catered to the golfers.
Okay.
These three restaurants that I'm talking about right now are just in the resort center, and they're for guests, they're for people staying here, they're for really anybody. That one is open. It's underneath Basalt. So Basalt's on the third floor, overlooking like the golf course area. It's really cool. And then Basalt is on the bottom. And then 20th Hole Lounge, which is like a sports bar and grill. I compare it to like a Yard House. If you've been to a Yard House before, it's TVs everywhere. It's got a bar. It's got some simulator bays that you can golf while you eat, and really like a sports bar and grill vibe. And it's good food too. So those three, along with the two on the golf course, Club 73 and Oasis. And one thing a lot of people don't know, or they don't realize it till they get there, is, and a lot of people get sticker shock at the cost of a round. But when you go out there, you pay for the round. And all of the food is included.
Really?
All of it.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and that's not like, they're not like nickel and diming either. It's like, you order what you want, and it's part of the round. So I tell people, I'm like, you could go out there and spend an hour on the putting course. The driving range has, you know, TrackMan. They got a TrackMan on every bay that is, you know, a simulator on the driving range. They've got like a little world-class, really cool chipping area. And then the putting course, which is an 18-hole putting course, right next to the restaurant. So you could literally go out there, have breakfast, really good breakfast burritos, really good golf course food, have breakfast, hit around a little bit, maybe hour and a half on the range, grab a drink before you go out and play. When you get to hole 11 is where the Oasis is.
Okay.
They have other food there. They've got Dole Whip there. Ooh. They've got like carne asada tacos. They've got cookies. They got, and that's again, all included in the round. And then the cart girls, all the food is also included except for alcohol. Alcohol is not included in the price. And I think energy drinks as well, but everything else is on, it is part of the round, and you could really make it. I mean, it's so worth the price of admission because of everything, the whole experience. And that's what I always hear from golfers is the experience is just unlike any other that they've experienced. I've never been to another golf course where everything, you get a wristband.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And whatever you want to eat. That's cool.
Amazing. Now, how's your golf game, McRae?
It's not great. However, I haven't been playing a lot. I'm just in that time of life that it's hard.
Little kids, yeah.
I've transitioned to more pickleball because it's just easier to get out and play. But I did actually go last week. My video that comes out tomorrow is at Utah Prep Academy. I did a full day there, and I talked to the players, the coaches, some of the school staff. As well as I played half a round with Chris Muehlhall, he's the new golf coach out there. And actually his daughter Allie she's becoming a pro golfer.
Wow.
She just won her first pro tournament in, I can't remember the the tour that she's on, but she's moving her way up really good. I golfed with them and Chris is a coach. And so he made two or three tweaks to my drive.
Really?
I hit it 290 yards straight.
Wow.
Which was the longest I've ever hit it. And it was straight as an arrow.
I was going to say, a lot of people can hit it that far, but it ain't going to be straight.
And it was, and I was like, oh. So the only problem is those two or three tweaks, you just have to do every single time.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hard. But I always tell, I've been saying recently, I'm like, give me a little more time. When eventually I will dial in the golf game and I'll become pretty good. That's my goal at some point in life. So.
When I was, I have my own golf story. When I, in the 90s, this, I remember I had one kid, I golfed a lot. And I ended up, my last tournament I was in, it was the Nevada Pro-Am. And it was a lot of fun. I was paired with a guy named Marty Barrett, who was the second baseman for the Red Sox. And, these guys, talking about high rollers, they were betting $500 a hole, on, against Greg Maddux's team. Who would do better? I remember when he made the bet, I turned to Marty Barrett after they left. I said, dude, I can't cover that. And he goes, oh, don't worry, I got you. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. Because at the time I was not well to do. But as it turns out, we beat them by like six holes. It would have been, you know, a lot of money. But I never saw any of that money. I'm not sure. I think by when he said, I got you, that meant you're not part of the bet, dude. So.
Well, that's funny.
But it was a lot of fun.
Greg Maddux was actually here at Black Desert a few months ago.
He's a Las Vegas native.
Yeah, he played here with Drew Brees and a group.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, we had in that tournament, there was Andre Agassi, Greg Maddux, Reggie Jackson. There was some pretty big names.
That's cool.
And it was a lot of fun to rub noses with those guys. In fact, I was in the buffet line getting ready to get some food afterward, and I hear this voice behind me says, I got to get in front of this guy or there ain't going to be nothing left. And I turned around, it's Reggie Jackson, got a big old fat cigar in his mouth. I'm like, Mr. October, you go first.
That is awesome. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah. That was also, like I said, the last time I really played much. I played a little bit here, you know, in the last, gosh, that was 30 years ago.
It's really cool out there. They've got a spa that's going to be opening up in the next couple months. They've got, really, the future is one of the next big developments out there is the boardwalk area, which will be more condo units, but also a really big shopping and restaurant, basically like a mini mall that will have. They're hoping to be able to attract some brands that we don't have here, and big old walkable boardwalk that's like pedestrian only. You know, it's the plans are really, really cool. So.
Black Desert. Now the average person maybe hasn't been out there, or maybe they went out once like me to the Travel Expo, and what would you say to your average Georgian to go there?
And then the event space too. They've got a lot of event space that I know is going to be super helpful. But yeah, I mean, just go check it out. You drive out there, there's parking. I would honestly just walk around, check it out, have some food. And really, it's open to the locals. The spa is going to be open to the locals too when it's there. So
nobody's going to kick you out. Just check it out.
It's a very cool property and amazing views. I mean, it's really cool how they've built it because it doesn't take away from any of the views. The way they've built the whole thing, it's pretty incredible. So
if you love those red cliffs, those red rocks out there, you got some pretty awesome views of that. So, all right, quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about Exit 2, what's going on there. I finally got out to the new Smiths. I'll tell you about that and more from McRae after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. 9:50 on KDXU. Obviously, we're running short on time, and I would be remiss if I didn't move us and refer to McRae's other video out right now. He's working on one. That's different because it's not out yet, but he did have a video on Exit 2. And if you have not been out to Exit 2 recently, folks, wow. I mean, things are changing and growing quickly. McRae, what did you learn? What are some of the things that you were like, wow, okay.
Well, the big news obviously is Costco.
Yeah.
And so that's the biggest news of Exit 2, right? Is the Smiths got open a few months back and has been great.
And I was able to go there first time. My wife and I kept saying, we got to get out to that Newsom. We got to go. And we finally did go out to the Newsmith. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That Costco is just going to generate so much more out there. And it's going to take all the pressure off the current one, which everyone, you know, complains about. Yeah. And
it's our favorite thing.
And so, yeah, that's, I think, the biggest news and the reason why I went out there, you know, because I was just out there in November. But that is going to be an area that I frequent more and more just because of everything is going to start moving very, very fast out there. So Costco is still, there's still a few jumps to hoop, but or jumps
hoops,
to,
hoops to jump.
Hoops to
yeah.
jump. But at this point, it's pretty much a formality, you know, and
yeah.
and going to go right there next to the new Moto United, Marine United, mm-hmm. Which Moto United is open. Marine United is still, I think, a couple weeks away. That's a huge, beautiful building.
Big,
That's going to be great down there. And that's just
on the east side of the freeway.
It's on the east, northeast side yeah. of the interchange. And so then you've got a bunch of things happening on both, you know, over by the Smiths. There's a lot of infrastructure being dirt moving for some new restaurants and different retail that they haven't announced just yet, other than just the In-N-Out that... And the Del Taco. The Del Taco's cruising on their construction. And then right next to it, the In-N-Out's still trying to figure out how to place it and with their line and everything, as we know. The line at In-N-Out.
Kind of a long line, yeah.
So a lot of good things happening on that side. And then over in Desert Color, we're starting to have things open up. You got the Swig that's opened up, Intermountain Golf Cars is opened up. Peach Wave the Peach Wave frozen yogurt is supposed to open this Friday is really? What they're shooting for. They were hoping to have it open before the parade because there's a couple parades out there starting on Friday, Parade of Homes, and then the Pizza Hut, the Chipotle, Jersey Mike's, Mavi Med Spa is under construction. So there's quite a few retail places. And then there's a letter of intent for a grocery in that area of Desert Color as well, nice. Which is not anything confirmed yet. Not the lease or a contract has not been signed, but there is someone very heavily looking. There's another sports bar going out there called The Break, which is from Northern Utah. I've heard really good things. Mm. That one's supposed to go right in front of the Big Shots and should start construction here pretty soon. And then the Megaplex, they're moving along through the design of that.
Unbelievable.
Which is going to be 75,000 square feet.
That's big.
Bowling and movie theaters, arcade. It's going to be really cool. And then the apartments that are out there right in the middle of all this have gone live, and they'll start moving people in April. There's a lot going on.
Now, how long would you say Desert Color's been open as far as the housing?
2020 was...
So 5 years almost.
About 5 years.
And Sun River's been around for... What, at least 20?
At least.
Longer,
yeah. Probably.
So the when you think about the fact that they haven't had a grocery store out there for a long, long
yeah.
time. Obviously, you know, Smith's a long time coming, right? Costco's coming and maybe another grocery outlet. But I just think about it, those people that live there, they had to get on the freeway and go find a grocery store
yeah.
because there wasn't one close.
Right, yeah.
Even and if they get to Bloomington.
Walmart is a close one, but...
Yeah, not that
but
close.
It's, yeah. But it's... Right, but it's not... out there, and that's they've needed that, and so it's great, and it you need the rooftops in order for it to really make sense for big retailers like that, and all the rooftops are it's not slowing down out there. That south block all the way from there to the airport is just going to continue to build out, and a lot of good stuff happening out that way.
I actually asked the mayor this, and I'll ask you, but you'll probably give me, I would imagine, the same answer. I said, is there ever a possibility, because that is somewhat separated from St. George proper, that would incorporate as its own town someday? And she said, no, I don't think so.
No, I don't think St. George is willing to give that up.
Yeah.
That would essentially be, you know, that's what would have to happen, and I don't foresee that happening, because ultimately it might feel that way right now that it's out there, but over time, you know, once Little Valley connects into the Southern Parkway, and then Bloomington basically now Sun River is just an extension, and it'll all just feel like St. George at some point.
I remember years ago, City Rec basketball, we would go out to the Armory to play our games. And that really, back then, now we're talking about probably 25 years ago, that felt like the end of civilization. I mean, you were way out there, and now it ain't the end of civilization
anymore. Yeah, that was the Arizona Strip when I was growing up. It was like it just ended right at the end of Fort Pierce. It was just a dirt road, and that was where we'd go and do bonfires and all different kinds of things.
Race your cars. And yep. No, you didn't do that, I'm sure.
maybe a time or two. but it's really just an extension of the city, and I don't, just as a private citizen, I don't see why St. George City would give it up. So,
all right. Any other exciting things besides the two areas we talked about that you can talk about yet? We only have about 2 minutes.
There's a lot. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Like I said, the video tomorrow is going to be on Utah Prep, which I think is a really cool addition.
For those that don't know, that was Diamond Ranch Academy.
Diamond Ranch Academy.
And now it's Utah Prep Academy.
Out on Sand Hollow Road, mm-hmm. just across from Jellystone. It is Prep Academy now. It's just a prep school. It's completely different. It's not a troubled teen center anymore. Prep schools are new to Utah, but back east and everywhere, I mean, they're boarding schools, prep schools are pretty standard thing.
Sure.
And, you know, basketball is kind of the staple for it, but it's really cool in my video, and what I learned while I was out there was how much they're just trying to set these kids up for success in life.
Yeah.
Their whole thing is a launch pad for life. And they really want to create leaders, whether it's on the basketball, whether they end up making it to the league, which is what every kid out there wants, obviously. Sure. But the reality is not everyone's going to make it, right? They want kids to have a launch. They want this to be a launch pad for kids to be able to have success in whatever route they take. And part of that is building the network, which is, you know, they travel all over the country for games.
I saw them on TV.
And it's cool. It's, I love the mindset. I love the vision of the headmaster, the staff, the admissions, you know, it's really cool. And I'm a big sports guy. Yeah. And they're starting a golf program too, which is just going to flourish like crazy here, which is really cool too. So
now they have a really cool artificial turf football field. Will they ever have a football team, do you think?
I talked to them. They said that's the hardest sport to get into the prep schedule and like to build a really competitive team. And right now they're actually planning on using that as they're bringing in some hitting. They're going to use that as their wedge course. The football field, and they took the skate park that was there and they turned it into a putting course. And then their home field or their home course is Sand Hollow. So
look for the video.
Really cool stuff.
When does that video drop?
Tomorrow morning.
All right. So. He's McCray Hepler. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for listening,
Andy.
Today, everybody. Thanks, McCray.